Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dyens and Troy Hall. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274. Welcome, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be. My name is Jason Dyess. We're broadcasting live from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. You found the Radio Free Credit Union Show on your internet radio dial. It is radio, it is free, and it's all about what is hot and happening in the credit union marketplace. Of course, that means we are going to introduce our assistant, co-host, assistant to the host, Mr. Troy Hall, the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, how are you this afternoon?
Hey. I am good, and welcome to the show from beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains, the sun still shines.
Still shines, yes, and it is beautiful, folks. If you ever have the opportunity, Charleston, a very, very charming place, widely regarded is one of the best places to find really, really good food in the Southeast. And more importantly, when you go down there, you'll have a friend because, of course, Troy is down there.
I will be your friend, so just call me. I will be your friend.
He will absolutely be your friend. Very gracious host, I know, because I've benefited from his hospitality last time I was out in Charleston. Anything big going on this week out there for you guys?
The only big thing that really has, continued to keep our attention is just looking at these home values and this unemployment rate that hasn't modified itself at all for 2010.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, I guess when I think back on the beginning of the year, I thought, I hope it's not a repeat of 2009. I would even take kind of a slow, steady climb back to something that resembled a recovery. And I guess the story of the year is really going to be that maybe we were kind of faked out in the middle of the year and things are kind of regressing back towards the mean a little bit. What is your thought on all of it for our credit union?
I mean, realistically, the bottom line that we're getting from the economists, I mean, fairly consistent, is do not expect there to be a lot of growth or a lot of change in 2011. What we will continue to see is that our consumers will, and small businesses will, deleverage their balance sheet, which means that they will be trying to pay off the debt, put money away in savings, and try to create a more austere approach to how they manage their either household finances or their businesses.
You know, it's and the audience knows this. You know, I'm 43 this month, and I think in some ways, Troy, and you can disagree or agree. In some ways, I had that, you know, letter to the editor in this few times talking about speed, the concept of speed. You want something today, you can get it. You know, you want a song, you can grab it out of the thin air with your Droid or your iPhone. And I think we've kind of been conditioned to believe that these recessions or corrections or whatever were, you know, 6 months, 8 months, 10 month kind of things. But, you know, you and I can both remember sort of 1978 to 1982, it went on for 3 or 4 years.
Yes, and that's what we're seeing more of that today. And the main and the primary difference to what occurred during that time frame that you reference in today is the fact that we do not have the equity values of property to be able to really mortgage or leverage our way out of the recession. So the only way to do it is to simply buckle down and work with what you currently have in the way of finances. And the thing that also is important to note is that unemployment, it will take about 5 years for the unemployment levels that we see today to actually get to the 5 or 5.5% levels that we experienced in pre-2007. And that is a significant length of time, because what's happening is those folks who've lost their jobs when the economy started to tank a little bit in 2007, those companies are not replacing those people. That is not happening. If there will be new jobs, it's because of new things that they're going to be doing. They're not going to go back to doing it the old way and hire those old people, those folks back into those old jobs.
Well, against the backdrop of a fairly, I mean, again, I think it's probably more regional than it used to be. I don't think anybody would say that we're dealing with a bad economy down here in Texas. It's certainly not. I was telling someone at the Credit Union Station of Oregon conference last week that the Texas economy between 2004 and 2006 might be the best economy in American business history, save the 3 or 4 years right after the end of World War II. But against that backdrop, you know, back to, like we just said, 1978 to 1982, when people were kind of struggling through that first, you know, industrial meets technology recession that was the late 1970s, companies like Microsoft and Intel and Apple were starting to grow. And against this backdrop of kind of a challenging economy, I think there are bright spots out there. And I got to tell you, Troy, I witnessed one with my own eyes in Bellevue, Washington, this past Monday on Columbus Day. BECU, a lot of people will know them as Boeing Employees Credit Union, BECU, the nation's fourth largest credit union, put on an event. And I don't want to be guilty of hyperbole here, Troy, but literally this event completely restored my faith in the viability of the credit union marketplace. And we're going to speak to Jeffrey Duke, who is there and works for BECU, on the other side of this break. All right, like I said, this past Monday, I was fortunate to be out in beautiful Bellevue, Washington at the gorgeous Maiden Bauer Center. And we're joined by Jeffrey Duke. He is the organizational development development manager and leadership manager for BECU. If you're listening now, I want everyone to know that I nailed that title off the air, and it's our pleasure to welcome Jeffrey Duke to the show. Hey, Jeffrey, how are you doing?
Doing great. Calling in from beautiful sunny Seattle, where even when it's sunny, it's still raining. Keep up with Troy on those.
All right, man,
wow.
That's the way to go.
We made history last week when our guest had three rounds of applause, but that might be the best comeback on the intro. And Jeffrey, just for our audience benefit, I really did nail your title off the air.
Yes, you did. It is long, though. It's the Organizational Development and Leadership Manager, so I need two business cards.
Yes. Well, in any case, we're very, very happy to help you. Listen, Jeffrey, this past Columbus Day, when many credit union professionals like Troy were taking the day off, although if I know Troy, he was probably still working a little bit, BECU had an all-employee event. I think it was over 1,000 employees. It was the largest event that Scott Knight and myself had ever performed in front of, and I told Troy, and I'll tell everybody, it was like a Bon Jovi concert. The level of production was insanely great, and it was an amazing event. What were some of the high points of that day for y'all?
Well, overall, I think part of high points and part of the reason we did it was really giving people a chance to unite cross-functionally. And so we're a geographically dispersed organization. We have about 1,000 employees, and we had almost everybody there. And so I think our total count was about 936. And we did an evaluation immediately after. Number one response, what did you most enjoy and get out of the meeting? And that was meeting with others outside my department. And so, right. I mean, it's really a chance for people to unite and connect as an organization, as a whole.
Well, I know that we've, you know, you heard Troy and I talking about the challenging aspects of the economy right now. To me, it seemed like against that backdrop of, you know, we're in these generational transformational days, I got to tell you, I met a lot of people that day, a lot of your employees, and I mean, they were all fired up and revved up. What are you guys doing out there that keeps your people so revved up even during these difficult times?
Well, we serve Kool-Aid every morning. All right, good, glad I got a chuckle. Thank you. We do a lot of things like this. I mean, we take our culture very seriously, and given, and as you were talking about the slow growth that's happening, the unemployment, a lot of the challenges that we're facing, we're going to continue to face. And so as you start saying, okay, we're going to push our people really hard, and it seemed like it was just going to be a year, maybe 2 years, now you start considering it's going to be 5 years that people are going to have to be continuing to perform at these levels. somehow you have to make that sustainable for your people. And
right.
So things that you can do to really energize them, to keep them connected to the mission and vision of your organization are things that are worth investing in. And so that was part of the conversation that we had, is what do we do to really improve the morale of our organization, to keep people fully engaged in what they're doing every day. And we decided, although it's expensive, we're spread out throughout the state. We flew, I think, about 80 people flying in for the event. And so, you know, logistically, the rental of the space, I mean, the total cost adds up. But so does disengagement. I mean, there's real cost to that as well.
So, that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear you talk about the disengagement, because I think many times we take a look at the value of an event like this and we take it to the bottom line and we forget about the intrinsic values that are necessary and important in an organization, especially when you have a lot of folks working, you've got morale issues. And I wanted to know, are there specific events that you do to improve morale, or do you maybe umbrella it under an employer of choice philosophy? Is there something like that, and maybe some suggestions of some specific items that some other credit unions might be able to do other than this massive event that you talked about?
Sure. We do a number of things internally, and I guess if you want to put it under the umbrella of employer of choice, you could certainly call it that. It's not a phrase that we use. We applied for one of those awards once a number of years ago, but it's not something that we regularly seek after as far as from an award level. But we do want to have, you know, a culture and an internal environment that people enjoy coming to work every day and they feel good about what they're doing. And so as much as we can do to help promote that and reinforce that, that's what we want to do. And so I would put under the umbrella of culture building. And I don't know, one of the things that we've found over the years is our people get fired up when they're able to help the members. I mean, that is what they really love doing. And as much as we can give them tools and different things that allow them to do that better, they're excited. But on the culture side of it, another thing that we do or have been doing specifically this year is working with the strengths program through Gallup. And we push that out to managers. And so we provided internal, packets, almost like a leader's guide, and they're designed to run in 15 to 20-minute chunks during team meetings, and we've provided these types of things to managers to use about once a month or so, again, to have conversations within their team about their team strengths. What do we have? What do we bring together as a team? How can we be more cohesive as a team? And pushing that down to managers can lead those discussions.
That's really interesting, and I liked what you said about the cost of disengagement. For those of you that are just joining us, we're visiting with Jeffrey Duke. He's the Organizational Development Leadership Manager at EECU. You mentioned an organization that is, you know, like you said, geographically spread out quite a bit. I got to tell you, when I was there, there were two companies that popped into my mind, Disney and Southwest Airlines. And from the standpoint of maybe even more so than Disney, I think Southwest Airlines has proven, if you make it a fun place to come to work, I know we don't call them customers in the credit union world, but that your customers will experience the difference. It seems like that is a huge part of what y'all do. Making it, you know, I used to say when I did my keynote sessions that almost everybody separates themselves from something or someone they love to go to work in the morning. And the exchange has to be something equal to that sacrifice. What advice would you give other credit unions on how to, you know, forget about matrix and all the fancy stuff. How do you make a place fun to come to work every day?
I think you just have to decide that that's what you want. Until you have a specific vision of what you want your culture to be like, what your company to be like, what you want people to feel when they walk in the door, it's really hard to work towards something until you've defined it. So I think the first step is just deciding, this is what we want it to feel like internally. This is what we want our employees to experience every day. We do that a lot for our members. We've got all sorts of specific plans about what we want the member experience to be like. I think first step is defining what the employee experience should be like. And then going after things. What would work within your organization to help make that feeling?
And Jeffrey, do you think that it's real important for the member experience really starts from the experience that the employee adds into the process?
Oh yeah, they're very much connected. We have a big poster in our boardroom. We call it the flywheel, And it's a big circle, and it just shows the interconnected of multiple parts, which includes that connection between engaged employees and engaged members. And it's hard to have one without the other. If your employees hate their job, it will show. And the way they treat the members, they're very much connected.
You know, I was going to say that it would have been easy for somebody like me who can be a little – I know this is going to surprise Troy, but somebody like me who can be a little cynical at times, that the enthusiasm and the stuff that I experienced with your employees firsthand was a result of, well, hey, it's a tough economy. I'm really glad to have this job here. But it really seemed to transcend that. I mean, I met people from every different, you know, part of the credit union, tellers, vice presidents, you name it. And they all just seem to be genuinely geeked up about that event. You guys were celebrating 75 years of doing business. What's been your secret to staying in business so long and becoming the nation's fourth largest credit union?
I think it's a couple of the things we just talked about, and that's really balancing the employee focus and the member focus. We've had a very strong history of a member focus, member service, looking for products and things. I mean, how can we benefit the member? That's why we're in business. But balancing that also with an employee focus, because you need the employees to stay in business. They are the ones who – they're your brand. They represent who you are and what you do. And so you have to balance both of those. I think that's been part of the successful mix at BECU is really having both of those, a good balance between employees and members. And
I think it's also important to have the right people in the right seats as you go through the organization. So I just have to tell you that I am just so intrigued by your title. How did that come about?
Oh, that's a bad story. I'll have to tell that one a different day.
All right. So, but maybe you might just be able to clarify, what are some of your roles within the organization? What would someone say with your title would actually do?
Oh, sure. So we have about 1,000 employees, and so some of this is scalable. Our training department is about 10 people, and so specifically within that group, I focus, the leadership portion is management development, and so I run a lot of our internal things we do for managers. We also have management offsites. We do one or two of those a year, pull the management together and help give them some focus. So I coordinate those as well as some internal sessions. And then the organizational development part, the OD portion, is really the larger events for all the employees. We have strategic objectives related to our employees. And so I oversee and maintain a lot of that. And there's specific activities related to those objectives. So things as we develop individuals, we have people who focus on that. I focus more on developing our managers and developing as a whole organization.
Well, I want to ask you one quick question before Troy wraps it up. Now, Jeffrey, do you remember the words to the song?
You know, if I wasn't on air, I could probably sing it for you.
Well, we don't even let Troy sing on the air, so that's no
I good. Know, yeah, karaoke live. As a matter of fact, my wife says, Troy, you should sing solo very often. And I said, really, honey? She goes, yes, so low that nobody can hear you. So I understand completely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Jeffrey, we appreciate you being with us today and to talk with us a little bit about the activities out there at Boeing Employees Credit Union, and certainly that huge event that you brought together. Again, your primary focus was employee morale. You want to make sure that you are taking good care of your employees, and I really appreciated your commentary regarding the disconnect that can sometimes happen or the disfranchisement, that word that I know that
– you know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, you'll pronounce it much better than me since you did such a great job at it.
I'm not even going to try it.
Yeah, don't even try that. And then, you know, and certainly you talked about how the employee and the member, you know, they really create the whole experience together, and you can't just have one part without the other. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us now to kind of wrap up your feelings about this employee morale or anything that you didn't get to talk about before we close up?
I'll throw out 3 quick things. One is I'm happy to chat with anyone who would like to hear a little bit more about what we did or how we did it. Jeffrey.Duke@becu.org. Secondly, I'll tell you, at the event, the best used part of the whole thing is we had 10 photo booths, and we had people who were grabbing other departments, people they haven't seen but they've emailed for years, into photo booths to take a photo that they could then take back to their desk. And I think it's some of the little things like that. It's the making connections, not just with the people you see every day, but feeling like you're a whole and united organization that really brings the synergy to allow you to excel above and beyond, average, to really put yourself apart in the market.
That's really great. Jeffrey, thanks so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're actually going to keep talking about this, but I know Jeffrey has a meeting at the bottom of the hour. Listen, Jeffrey, on behalf of myself, Scott, and I, please say a million times thank you to Mr. Oakland, Gary Oakland, the CEO out there, everybody on your crew. I actually took a picture with some of your employees in one of those photo booths, and I want to thank you so much. Wish you continued success, and thanks for giving us a little bit of time out of your day.
Anytime. Thank you again.
Thank you. And we will be right back.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274.
Right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. It is radio, it is free, and it is all about what is hot and happening in the credit union world. Troy, he made a great point, something that I've been so focused on the event itself. I hadn't thought about the cost of disengagement. That's going to stay with me over the weekend.
Yeah, it is. It's. I think that interesting that he brought that up. It's something that I wanted to relate to here at the credit union is a program for Children's Miracle Network. And you're going to think, well, gosh, how does that connect to this, cost of disconnection, Well, we tried to simplify the program for our folks so that they would not be having to spend so much time and energy. Our brand is Life Simplified, so we thought, well, we'll come up with a simplified program for this. And what we found that really worked is, and part of that plan was to say, well, here's one focus that we're going to do. So everybody give your monies to this one particular focus, and that way we won't have to have all these raffles and all these little games and these things. But, in order to raise the money, we had to do it. We have one gal out in our Oak Brook area who spent hundreds of dollars making these egg rolls that she is known for in the area, and she made money by doing it. But the issue was what we thought would simplify is that instead of her spending hundreds of her own dollars making the egg rolls to sell, that she would just contribute those hundreds of dollars into the program. But it doesn't work like that. Her value was in the way she could participate in the program, and it wasn't about the money. Right. And that just resonated with me in that example and what Jeffrey talked about and saying sometimes I think in management we devalue that concept, and we have to keep that in the forefront.
And I do too. I do too. I like to think of myself as, this guy that kind of is on the edge of different things, the way that we've started incorporating the use of live music into events like this. I cannot describe to you 1,000 people singing Starfish and Coffee with the great lighting and the cameras and everything. It was just such an amazing experience, but he was right. People were rushing for those photo booths, and they were connecting with people that they only knew as an email address. And, I guess the best example I can give is, you and I could Skype, or we could iChat, or we could text message one another, but given the opportunity and the option, I'd certainly much rather sit down and have lunch today in New Braunfels or Charleston. I think there's been so much made about these, amazing as they are, technological innovations that are out there, and the ability to keep us connected electronically. There's just nothing that trumps that, put your hand in someone's hand, shake a hand, hug somebody that you've talked to on the phone. I think that's a theme that we're going to have to explore down the road on this show.
I think so. And part of what we include in our member experience is to make sure that there is not an absence of that. So we try to make sure that those touch points are definitely there. And part of what we moved toward in our branch network was this teller stations where they were non-traditional, so that we break down the barriers so that the member actually stands beside the employee processing the transaction and gives the member a really opportunity to really connect in a different way to the way the transaction is occurring than to be, oh, you have to stand behind the counter. You can't look over here and see what I'm doing. And it just really creates a very different kind of engagement, and it has worked very well for us.
You know, when we went out to do the concerts for financial literacy for Community South Credit Union, remember we had David Southall on the show a couple of times, and his main branch is using, and maybe more than just his main branch, but the branch we visited, it had that very thing where it's kind of like, it's you and your personal financial consultant are standing there right next to each other, and there's a nice 32-inch monitor. You're both looking at the same thing. You're discussing things. To me, it was just a great way. When I talk about that boutique style of banking, pardon the expression, I don't really say credit union-ing, but maybe you and I could start coining that expression. I agree with you. I think it's just, you know, we do have, and believe me, you and I both avail ourselves of all this technological wizardry. But in the end, I always tell people, yes, I check my account every day on my iPad or on my MacBook. But if something happened to someone in my family that I loved and there was an issue of inheritance or property or stuff like that, I would not try to handle that transaction online. I would go to my credit union or my bank and want to talk to somebody. And it sounds like credit unions like yours and Innovations, you're beginning to see that person-to-person communication is not going to go away.
No, it's really not, and it's almost the same thing as when you consider brick and mortar. I don't think the branch network will ever go away. What might change is how we handle transactions in the branch. I mean, quite frankly, for me, I would prefer for branches to be more relational driven and have those transactions processed more electronically, because I really don't need – there is no relationship coming in if all I'm doing is depositing a check and withdrawing some money back. So do that type of transaction. However, when you have a serious issue, you want to know about managing money. I have a question about the way my account works. I have a question about how I could do this with my savings because I really want to accomplish that. Now, those are the relational type of activities that I would love for us to be able to spend more time with. And if we can just in these next years really find a way to focus folks into that concept for the branch and to treat the branch in that way, I think we'll make a lot of strides in the whole process. And I think the people won't be disappointed either in that, because they know that we will be able to give them the time they need to handle their issues.
You know, it's just axiomatic that the one thing that never, ever seems to go out of style is the experience you have when you walk into any place of business. I was in this place, Bellevue, Troy. You've got to come check this place. It's just a beautiful place. It's the corporate headquarters of Eddie Bauer and a lot of Microsoft presence there. Everyone just very, very friendly, very, very kind. And when I went to get pizza one night, the California Pizza Kitchen right next to the Westin, the young lady that helped me was a member at BECU and proudly said that. And it was just kind of weird, not weird, but kind of interesting to get the experience of, hey, here's one of their members. I had seen their commercials all afternoon on television, and then going to the event the following day. Like I said, one more time, I just want to thank everybody out at BECU, Mr. Oakland, Jeffrey, Stacy Ringer with Ideas Northwest that put this event together. It was just great. And with 1 minute left in the show, I want to let everybody know that this coming Thursday we'll be out with Mountain America Credit Union at the beautiful Zermatt Resort out in Utah. Myself, Scott, and Knife will be there to hopefully entertain and inspire their managers as we all try to figure out what we're going to do in this new 21st century banking marketplace. Now, Troy, let me ask you this. With about 90 seconds left in the show, have we reached the point where we really don't need to count the number of transactions that are going on in the lobby?
No, you still need to pay attention to it, because without counting that, you won't unless, of course, your intention is to have people wait. I mean,
right.
It depends on the balance between that. You still need to do that to know your staffing. Aside from that, you'll be lost, because those transaction counts are what's going to tell you how many people you're going to need. And if you don't keep track of that, you could be driving up your operational costs for no reason at all. So you still have to count.
Well, I think as we continue with the show, obviously people that listen in know a big theme of the show is not just the generational differences between, you know, Gen X and the baby boomers and Gen Y and the millennials, but how are we going to make our credit unions relevant and more efficient as we get into what may be, as you and I talked about at the opening of the show, maybe a prolonged recessionary period where kind of the challenging economy is the norm, and we're sort of waiting for that next big housing boom or whatever it may be that brings everything back to kind of where it was in the mid-2000s. And Troy,
yeah,
I look forward to talking with you next week. Everybody, same place, same faces here on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. Thank you so much for listening. Troy, why don't you send us out of here?
Okay, so here, everybody, you heard it first. You heard it from Jason. You heard it from Troy. You have a good week.
You guys take care.